soon as I put it out, he's like, boom, this is a perfect person to talk to. I'm like, oh, okay. Kind of told me some talking points of a little background from you. But since you're the first time on this guest, kind of like start from the beginning, go into your military career, and then some other cool things I found out about you from Michael that I didn't know about. A little bit about, I guess, UFC training with El Cucuy. So definitely got to talk about that. And just, you know, this is your platform, man, talking about your story. So first and foremost, first name, last name, where were you born and raised? And we'll go from there.
My name's Devin Ortiz. I was born and raised in Southern California. And most of my time was in Escondido, California. I was actually born in East County and down in San Diego at Alvarado Hospital. The first few years of my life was in East County. And then from there, due to major domestic violence, everything that my mother was facing at that time, she had then relocated myself and my brother and sister up to North County. And that's how the ball bounced, starting at a very young age. So as far as my entire story, I can go on for days about my story, but is there anything specific you would like me to touch on?
Yeah, so definitely, of course, my page here is for definitely any type of thing you want to be talking about in regards to your military. So like myself, I know you're prior Army. I'm prior Army. What got you to, first and foremost, I know everybody's story is so different, right? It could be the most unique, like, oh, you know, I saw all my family grow up and raised in the military that wanted me to. The most, man, I was just bored. I wanted to get out of here for a good while. What got you to go into the military?
So what got me to go into the military was a blend and probably a concoction of different things. Lifestyle, family, humble beginnings, troubled upbringing, tired of just working dead-end jobs, to ended up and pushing me towards the military, and or opened up a topic of conversation, and my ears were open to hear the information that was being tossed my way. Other people had told me, hey, maybe you should think about the military earlier on in my life, but I was that punk kid. I'm not going to listen to anyone tell me what to do. I'm going to do what the F I want to do, this, that, and the rest, right? Yeah, well, you think you're all big and tough until life slaps you in the face, right? So I started living on my own when I was 15 years old. I just got my disciplinary record last week from Escondido High School, and as well as my disciplinary record, I also got my transcripts. My first semester, I believe I got a 1.62 GPA. My second semester, I had a 1.0, and then I got expelled from Escondido High School. I was there for a brief stint for 12 months. And what do you expect from someone that's kind of run their own show, couch surfing, living from house to house, friend to friend, stuff like that? School just wasn't for me at that particular time. I had been suspended 29 times by the time I hit ninth grade, and I just wanted to run my own program. I met my father when he was in prison. I was 13 years old, and I know I just jumped back on you from 15 to 13, but I felt like that was important. That's important, especially because most of us do not have a cohesive family unit. Most of us come from broken homes, and you can either utilize that as a motivation tool, or you can utilize it to oppress you, per se. You know what I mean? So this story is what you tell yourself, and it's completely up to you. Met my father, and we kind of grew up together over the next few years. End up getting kicked out of high school, relocating to Montana, coming back down after I dropped out of high school. And I started working just dead-end jobs, really. I mean, dishwashing, waiting, serving, hostess. Then I did construction, concrete, precast concrete, which leads me into my 18th birthday. I was living back in East County off Graves Avenue. I got my first apartment to myself when I was 17 years old. And then from there, I was walking 3 miles to work, working all day in the sun, and then walking 3 miles back. And it was wearing on me day in and day out. And I was like, man, there's got to be another way. Like this life, I'm only 17 years old and life is already looking dim. Like I'm not happy. I can't afford a burrito. I don't have a vehicle. And I had a very narrow mindset at that time. So not having a lot didn't bother me. It was more or less like me trying to think about the future and how I was going to able to get ahead. And I had no game plan for that. There was no exit strategy. So I showed up. I no call, no show the day before my 18th birthday. Then on my 18th birthday, I showed up to work. Well, I got fired as I walked in the yard. It was probably the biggest blessing of my life. From there, I ended up going back home, hanging out, having a great time on my birthday. The day after, woke up and was like, I need to make some serious adjustments. So, do I want to go to prison? Do I want to be dead? Do I want something bad to happen to me? Because that's the inevitable route in which I'm going, right? Just lifestyle in general of where I come from, where we come from, and the things that happen when you're not doing productive stuff. So, I picked up the phone, talked to one of my friends in basic training at that time or advanced individual training in the army. And he was kind of giving me some information on what was going down over there, really piqued my interest. And he said, hey, talk to my recruiter. And that's how the ball bounced and the cookie crumbled. Really, I talked to the recruiter, the rest was history.
And definitely, just off the bat, man, definitely already have that kind of experience that most people, which wanted to go to do something different. And I love that. You know, you're already just kind of putting in a very good way to be going forward. So you call them, you start talking. For you, what was that turnaround? I know for me, it was pretty quick. The only reason why it took long for me to get going is because I was still in high school. But then when as soon as I graduated, I took off. So for you, like, what was the timeline until you went to basic training? How was basic training for you and everything from there?
Yeah, mine was really just getting clean. I was smoking a lot of weed. I was a kid, and obviously the military won't allow you to get in if you're not sober and clean. So I really just worked with the recruiter and was just honest about where I was at and what I wanted to do, and say, hey, as long as you get clean, you could join. So as soon as I could test clean, then I got in the military. Really, I failed. I didn't fail. I just didn't get as good of a score on my ASVAB that I wanted the first time. I didn't qualify for the jobs that I necessarily wanted to, and or I didn't really know what the jobs were. I just knew that on the first batch, what'll happen is you'll go and take tests. For those that are listening, it's like, what the hell is the ASVAB? You go to this place called MEPS, Entry Evaluation System. You take a test. Once you take that test, it'll assign numerical value. Based upon that numerical value, release jobs that you're eligible for within any service branch in which you're in. And then you can choose stuff like that. It was very quick. I actually should have got a quick ship bonus. I talked to him when took the ASVAB. I did pass right then and there, I believe. I have to double check because I don't want to give anyone some misinformation trying to go back so many years. I either failed or I was right on the cusp, and I wanted to see what else I could become eligible for. And the base entry is 32. And I believe on my second test when I took it, I got a 51, if I recall correctly. And then from there, I went to MEPS and chose to be a combat engineer. I was actually going to enter and just go the least path of resistance. I didn't know if I was going to like the military. I just knew that I needed to change in my life and I need something to save me. And what was the quickest way to change my life, give me benefits, give me some type of direction in life, and still instill discipline, morals, ethics, test my intestinal fortitude, challenge me, and develop me into a good young man? And that was going to be the military. So that's the route I chose. And once we had all the documentation and chose the job in which I was going to go, it was 13 days before I was actually in basic training. So it's one of the fastest turnarounds that I think most people have
Wow.
had. And there should have been a bonus applied to it. But for any of you guys thinking about joining the military, ensure that you're working with a good recruiter, ensure you're working with people around you that advise you on the documentation needed when entering the military. I didn't know anything about BAH or quick ship bonuses and or any bonuses. When I got to basic training, the drill sergeants are in our little intake. So you're not officially in basic training. You're in something called reception. They ask the entire company, hey, how many of you guys got bonuses in this room? Me and only two other people were the only ones to not raise our hand that didn't get a bonus. And that was, I know, directly due to the fact that all three of us were very motivated to change our lives and they withheld the information from us. So everyone else that we were surrounded by got $20,000, $25,000 bonuses, stuff like that for entering a combat job and a combat engineer role during that time in 2009. But it wasn't about the bonus. It was about changing the life. But absolutely, I could have utilized that extra money for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think you're the not the only one. I remember mine. It was all right. What do you want to do? All right, what is that job? That job that you detailed 11 Bravo. Okay, what does that entail? Cool. I'll sign up for it. All right, when do you want to leave? All right, cool. I was same way, man. The only reason why I didn't leave faster because I was still in high school, but everybody the exact same thing, Devin. Like all these people raise their hand, bonuses. I'm looking at everybody like bonus. What bonus?
Yeah,
You're
no doubt.
bonus.
So then, I mean, got into the military and I wanted to get out immediately. I didn't like it and I didn't like how much we were being paid. I didn't realize that I was going to be working in so many hours for just shit pay, really. I believe my first paycheck in the military was $800. That's after 2 weeks of not a lot of sleep, a whole lot of output, and not a lot of food. I was like, man, I think I got bamboozled here. Is there a way out? And they're like, nah, the fastest way out is to complete your contract. And you mean complete the contract that led to another one, that led to another one. Then 10 years later, ended up getting out. I'm currently 29 years old, and I got out last year. It was a biggest blessing in my life. The military changed my life. It saved my life. I'm truly blessed for the United States military and everything that I went through throughout. I mean, 10 years to cover in the course of a podcast, I would talk your guys' ear off all day. But in a nutshell, if you said, hey, what was it like? It was challenging. It was an amazing time to cultivate new friendships, new opportunities, growth every single day, challenge you every single day. And there, I would say, generally speaking, I did not have a bad overall experience. I would give it a thumbs up, a double thumbs up. I don't know where I would be here if it wasn't for the military the first 10 years of my life. However, I knew that I was not going to do 20 years after a certain point, and I needed to prepare to get out. And now I'm out. I'm blessed that I had that framework for my foundation, that 10 years. One contract wouldn't have done enough for me. It was multiple contracts and going through the ebbs and flows and the cycle emotionally of happy, sad, angry, numb, excited, all that type of stuff, wanting to get out, wanting to stay in, wanting to do 20 or 30 years, and then wanting to get out in 2 or 3 days. And cycling through that changed me. And it taught me a lot of valuable lessons about when you start something, having to finish through. Most civilians, they don't understand that you don't get to call in sick. Like, what do you mean you don't get sick days? Like, no, you will report. We will let you know if you're sick enough to go home, right? You'll go to sick call, you'll see the doc, they'll let us know, hey, yeah, this soldier has to go home for X amount of days. You don't just call in sick. Other civilians don't realize that you can't just no call, no show the military. Your ass will go to jail. So what does that do for a young kid that didn't have a lot of discipline, that ran his own life, that started living on his own with 15, got expelled his first year of high school, had an average GPA in the ones, suspended 29 times by the time he even hit high school. It provided a framework and it made it to where I cycled through my own personal challenges. And when I got to the other end, I was a different man because I wasn't able to just clock out. I wasn't able to pick up the phone and just say, I'm not coming, or I'm sick, or this or that. It really changed who I was as a person and who I'm going to be the rest of my life.
Love that, brother. Love that. And it's so true. I mean, I was kind of going through your Instagram, kind of seeing like what you're going into now, which we'll get into probably here in a little bit too as well. But crazy, yeah, a lot of people don't realize that I work myself with I work at 24 Hour Fitness as a manager there, and you know, just the little nuances that I think a lot of people take for granted, such as that, you know, being able to call and sick, being able to like, hey, I'm not coming in to work today. Oh, what's wrong? I just don't feel like it. Whereas us, man, we didn't have that. We didn't have the opportunity to kind of make our own schedule. It was more of, all right, it's time to, you know, put up that grind, suck it up. Now it's gonna suck, but hey, it's all good because my brother to my left and right, they're doing the exact same thing. So I love that you actually touched on that because it's so true that people actually don't realize those little simplicities that people miss out on life.
And those are the things I tell service members, that when people tell you thank you for your service, don't like brush it off. Acknowledge them. They're coming out of their day to let you know. And those are the things that people appreciate. Those are the sacrifices day in, day out, not just people being war heroes and leaving Okonis and doing certain things like that. It's the daily sacrifices that our service members have day in and day out that we're also appreciated for. Of course, we love our war heroes, you know what I mean? But everyone all-encompassing sacrifices something different when it comes to their military career. And we're thankful for all of our brothers and sisters in harm's way that have served, that will serve, and that are currently serving.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Actually, backtrack a little bit and fast forward. So you're getting close, going into what you do now. So right now, just kind of going off of what I did on Instagram, still getting to know you, Devin. Real estate, correct? That's your current.
Yeah, that's my current career field is real estate.
Got you. What year for you of your tenure that you were doing in the military where you're like, you know what? I kind of want to dabble into this. I see this going into my career. Was it early on or was it kind of like the later part of you getting out?
No, never, bro. I never had ambitions for anything. I never had ambitions to leave Escondido. My pops asked me when he got out of prison, what do you want to do in life? I said, I want to go to prison. I want to be just like you. I love the streets. I love my homies. I love what it is I do every day. I don't need to leave the city ordinance. I don't need a car. I'll take a bus pass. I had a very, very low level of thinking. I had no ambition. I had no inspiration to want to do anything in life. So real estate was never even in the deck of cards. It actually started with MMA first. So I know you asked about real estate, but we'll backtrack to a career within a career. And that was my MMA career. I fought 14 professional fights, and the phone came ringing one day. And I picked up the phone, and it was someone which I knew that called and said, hey, you're one of the downest motherfuckers I ever met. And I said, I appreciate that. Well, what's up, Stretch? What's going on? He said, you know that fight organization that I told you about, my best friend runs? I said, yeah. He said, well, someone no-showed the weigh-ins. And the guy traveled 8 hours to fight for tomorrow. And he traveled 8 hours for weigh-ins and guy no-showed. And you're right around that weight. I believe it's like one, I was like 180 at that point, something like that. 182. I was big into lifting and all that. And I was like, all right, well, why are you calling me? Because obviously I don't cage fight. He said, yeah, I know, but we need someone to go in there and put on a show. And he called me and you came top of mind. So we want to pay you a few $100 to get in there and scrap. I said, bet a few $100. I fought for nothing. I'll absolutely do it. What do I need? He said, I'll bring the cup, I'll bring the mouthpiece, I'll bring the hand wraps. You just bring a can-do attitude. and put it on him. I said, bet, too easy. So I was on graveyard shift that night. I was on duty. I got off at 07 that morning. From there, met up with him, talked about game plan, what's going to happen throughout the day. I fought that night, no sleep, and then I reported back at 0600 the day after my fight. I got TKO'd in the third round, but what it did for me, it wasn't the loss. I didn't care about the loss, but it challenged me in a whole nother manner, and I hadn't had that in any civilian aspect. And it brought me back to like a military mindset when you're on an 18K or not an 18K, like an 18 mile, a 20 something K, a 30K, however many miles, something that's very challenging in the military, whatever you're doing. And it brought me back to that, testing you personally. And that was the only thing within the civilian world in which I experienced. And plus, I always love fighting. Like I told you, I suspended 29 times by the time I hit ninth grade for a reason. So I was like, this is perfect. Maybe this is a career field in which I can then lateral into and transition out of the military early. So, like I said, I got TKO'd with 1 second left, something like that. It was in the third round. I got TKO with the liver kick. Stu was massive. I'm only 5'9". I was weighing 180, 182 pounds. This gentleman was probably 6'1 to 6'3", chiseled, maybe 5 ounces of body fat or 5% body fat. And hey, earned his respect, I tell you that, at the end of that fight. And other people asked me when I left, hey, where do you train at? What do you do? I said, I don't train. I just literally got paid a few hundred dollars to show up and scrap. But then I collected some cards, met some people, and rekindled some relationships from Escondido that, or cultivated relationships from Escondido that may have been just acquaintances at that point, to brotherhood. And then that's when I became a part of Escondido Fight Club, Joe Phoebus, my coach Casey, and a bunch of other friends, Smasher Gears, stuff like that. And we started this whole little run at Escondido Fight Club for quite a few years. And that's where the whole aspect of civilian Devin really came into the picture.
Wow, man. I know Mike was telling me a little bit about that. So, I mean, since we're on the topic, going into MMA, going into there, and we'll get to the whole real estate right here in a little bit. How did you meet? I heard he was telling me a little bit. You were, and I saw a little bit on the picture. How'd you meet Tony Ferguson? How did that?
So, I actually, it goes into real estate. I ended up buying my first property when I was 21 years old, and I was renting out rooms. And then from there, I rented out to a gentleman named Ray. Ray is also a veteran, and he should probably be on this podcast as well. He shouldn't
Hit him up.
probably be. He will be. I'll put you in touch with him. His name's
Of course,
Ray.
of
He used
course.
to live with me. Well, he was training with El Cucuy up in Orange County at our coach Anthony's gym. He brought me up there and we trained with the Latin America Tough Team. And he had the entire Tough Team up there for Latin America up at the gym and they were training that day. So Ray and I came to train with El Cucuy, the Tough Team, and we ran rounds for probably about 3 hours. It was a good training session. If I'm going to travel 1 hour and 10 minutes to get somewhere, you got it twisted if you think I'm going to train for 1 hour and 10 minutes or less than that of my travel time. So if I'm spending 1 hour, 10 minutes each way, I'm going to work out for longer than 2 hours and 20 minutes to make it worth it. We're there for an excess of 3 hours. Loved it. It was a great time. Learned a lot of great, young, hungry bodies. And then from there, we just cultivated the relationship from there. But that's how the first day that I met El Cucuy, and it was due to Ray, and then met Coach Anthony, and I mean, like I said, cultivated that relationship from there, and it flourished into great times, great opportunities. And that's what life's about, getting out of your comfort zone, meeting people, and seeing what else is out there. If you stay in a shell and you never get outside of your comfort zone, you're never going to grow.
So true, brother. So true. That's crazy, man. Just hearing kind of know a little bit that Michael's telling me about your story. And I love the story, man. I love the ability that too many, I'm not too sure if you lost any brothers, unfortunately, too. A lot of people don't realize a lot of our jobs, combat jobs, and just in general, just working with anybody that has to do combat jobs in general, unfortunately, a lot of people can't take it. And a lot of the routes they go, whether they come back to civilian life, they kind of go down either that same destructive path or something just worse in general. So I love hearing that MMA was kind of that escape route to you that actually related you to be happy and then going into a really good career into real estate. So I love hearing that, man. I love it.
Yes, yeah, the art of motion. That's why I loved it, and it was challenging, and it was just something that most people didn't understand, but I wasn't seeking to be accepted by anyone else. I didn't care if my family wanted to go or didn't want to go. It's what made me happy, and the rest is history. Had 14 fights, mixed real estate into there. So how did real estate get involved? We're all paying rent, bro, and we get BAH. And I just didn't know how it was going to happen at first, but my uncle sat me down on Easter, Easter 2010, I think. Oh, so I joined in 09, 2010, 11. Yeah, 2011. He sat me down and he was like, "Hey, aren't you getting BAH?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Why are you renting?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Why don't you buy a house?" I'm like, "I'm 20 years old." I'm like 19, 20 years old. I said, "So what? If the numbers make sense and you're eligible, the faster you get into home ownership, the fact, you know, I mean, better off you'll be." And not to mention, you should add up all the money you've spent on rent so far. So I added up his disgusting amount, but still kind of young, scared. Fast forward 2 more years or 1 more year, year and a half, 2012, entering 2013. He sat me down again and was like, "Yo, what are you doing?" I'm like, "What do you mean what I'm doing? I'm working, I'm paying my bills. As far as being, yeah, I mean, not even 21. I feel like I'm doing great." He said, "Yes, you're doing great. However, add up all the money in which you've spent on rent and circled it." So I added up. I forgot what number it was, but it was an astronomical amount. So he said, "Why don't you find a way to purchase a home, get as many bedrooms as bathrooms as possible without over leveraging yourself, but by making yourself uncomfortable? Because when you're uncomfortable, you're gonna prosper, you're gonna thrive, you're gonna find a way. When you're uncomfortable, you're gonna be scared, you're not gonna wanna do it. But if you stretch yourself to that point, you get the maximum amount of bedrooms and bathrooms that you can get for whatever you qualify for and whatever you can actually make the payment." He said, "I don't, this is not including eating out. Strip down, write everything down, and then strip down all the BS and roll that BS money into your mortgage. So, if you ate top ramen and lived by yourself, how much could you afford?" I bought a 3-bedroom, 3.5-bathroom townhome, scared out of my mind. The first agreement, actually, and my boy Michael Martinez told me he was going to move out from Texas and he was going to help offset the mortgage. I was like, "Yo, I'm going to be 21 years old. I'm scared. This is a lot of money to sign for. I want to rent out some rooms. And what's a better way than to collab with one of your best friends and then go from there?" Well, due to that, we're kids and we're not understanding kind of the thought processes and the steps to go about trying to identify right and wrong decisions and identifying the numbers so that you can make a well-informed decision. Michael calls me and says, "Hey, bro, very sorry to let you know, but I can't transfer over to California." Mind you, I'm like a week away from closing.
Oh my.
My, you know what I mean? Like buying my first home. And he tells me, like, "Hey, bro, sorry, it's on you." And I'm like, "You motherfucker." But at the end of the day, hey, it's me being a kid trying to be a man. So I can't be mad at him, but low key, I was irritated. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, how the fuck am I gonna do this now? So regroup. No matter what, your best friends, your parents, at the end of the day, it's on you at the end of the day. So self-reflected and then decide, how am I going to make this happen? I rented out 2 rooms over the course of the next 4 years, and that yielded me $72,000 in rental income. That's when I started understanding how powerful real estate was and how a structure can help set up your financial security for long term to get you towards financial freedom. Ideally, what I wanted to get to was financial freedom, but I didn't know how I was going to get there. But I started shedding some light on the power of home ownership when I started renting out these rooms. Because I was making $1,600 a month, but my mortgage was only 2 grand, right? So I was still have my BAH, I was still making, you know, my money, I was paying that, and then I was saving the rental money. That's what I utilized to then purchase my second home. And then that's how I got into real estate. I actually didn't join real estate as like an agent or get into it with the inclination for it to be a career path. I wanted it to be my vehicle towards financial security and financial freedom for the long term. However, when I was purchasing my second property, the listing agent, which represents the sellers, called me at 8 o'clock at night. Said, "Hey, Devin, I like the way that you've been conducting yourself throughout this transaction. And typically, I don't never reach out to the buyer's agent's clients. However, due to the fact that you sat us down with myself, the sellers, your agent, and yourself to meet at the table and really negotiate for yourself, that opened my eyes. And I just want to let you know that I truly feel that you have a knack for this and that you should seriously contemplate joining the real estate industry if you ever think about getting out of the military." So I told my buyer's agent, Ivan, what they had told me. And he said, "Yeah, bro, if you ever get out, let me know and you can go and you could work for me and I'll teach you the way." I took him up on that offer. And now we're here. I got out off active duty June 3rd of 2019. June 3rd, 2019. Yeah. And what are we today? July, almost July 1st, or the end of June 2020. So it hasn't been that long. I got my real estate license while I was still active duty and was, working with him and learning a lot and doing all that. But so that when I got off active duty and I hit terminal leave, that I was in a full sprint within the real estate industry. So my experience being a buyer and not having any professional real estate influence on me really opened up my eyes to massive opportunity for growth within the industry. So on day one, I knew what I wanted to change. On day one, most of these agents don't know left from right, up from down. A lot of these agents, 80% of them in the state of California, are part-time. Most agents don't even own their own home. So I'm running circles around them on day one because I already know what I want to change in the industry. I've already purchased 2 homes. I already know the value of home ownership. I already know what escrow, title, and everything is going throughout the process. So then from there, I immerse myself in the real estate industry. And I truly believe it's not real estate, it's not me, it's anything that anyone in America wants to do, you can absolutely do it. So what are you doing with your time? Everyone has the same 24 hours. Let me see your schedule. I'm going to show you where you're pissing away time and opportunity. If you want to be successful, why the fuck are you not? You're in the richest land with the most opportunity. You're in the richest land with the most opportunity here in America. There's people that would kill someone and or work every day of their life to have the opportunity in which you have here in America, but most Americans are pissing away their first world opportunity.
So true, brother. So true. And I mean, you hit nail right on the head, man. Another reason why I really wanted to do this podcast for everybody, just to show that wherever you kind of start, whether it be, oh, the typical Man, you got expelled from high school. You didn't amount to shit. Now look at you, brother. The amount of gratitude and beauty that you see that you have in life, man. That's so true. And I think it's a big thing that a lot of people can see that from somebody who's coming from considerably, right? Escondido can be considered a small town compared to LA or something like that. But being able to go to where you've been around, serve, do your real estate, and really make your 24 hours into something, man. I love it. And the big thing for me, what are you doing now with it? I know I saw a picture on there on Instagram, a little bit talking to, it looks like some servicemen. Are you going to, like, I know when you transition out, they have little classes for a lot of people don't know if you're ever thinking about going or going out. They do have some good classes that, if you take them serious, can actually put you in a good way. Are you doing something similar with like knowing veterans or people getting out or actually how to do real estate, or what do you do with certain veterans right now?
Yeah, so to serve our veteran community, our reservists, our retirees, and our active duty communities, I teach a plethora of different seminars. In specific, when it comes to military in general, I cover the VA home loan. You guys have literally signed the dotted line and have assumed way more risk than a home. But yet, they're not teaching you one of your best benefits, something that can contribute significantly towards your financial security. I'm talking about we are in Southern California, which is one of the most highly desirable real estate markets in the entire United States. With the active duty family, or really any family for that matter, with one duty station, 4 years, we have some service members leaving here cashing out over $200,000 in equity. Imagine what that can do for a military family. Yet, the military is not teaching us about one of our best and least utilized benefits. So I've taken that as a personal mission of mine to educate, educate, educate. Why? Because the sooner you get into home ownership, the sooner you'll understand the value. And then from there, you can make the well-informed decision for yourself. But if you've never been informed, how can you truly make an informed decision, right? Like you're just making a decision based on nothing that you don't even know. So you're just not utilizing it because no one's truly educated you on it. But the government has created a loan product specifically for you. Specifically for you. You signed the dotted line. Congratulations. You've either been on active duty for 90 days, Title 10, and or you've done Title 32 time. Or you've done no active duty time at all, and you've completed 6 years within the National Guard or Reserves, and you're eligible for your entitlement. You get to walk into a home for $0. The strength of that is amazing on its own. Then I can negotiate your closing costs as well. So you're not putting any skin in the game, you have no down payment. I can get your closing costs covered. You get the best interest rates in the game. Why? Because it's a government-backed loan. So you get the best interest rates. And VA loans have the lowest foreclosure rate out of any loan product out there. And you have no private mortgage insurance. So there's so many added benefits on why to utilize the VA home loan. Many people, if they put down a 3% conventional or FHA program for normal civilians, they have something called private mortgage insurance, which could add $400 to $800 a month on top of your mortgage, depending on what your mortgage amount is. See, the mortgage insurance is to cover the difference to the 20% cap. So if you put down 3%, that mortgage insurance is going to cover that additional 17% in case you foreclose. So you foreclose on that property, you put down 3%, but there's 17% that's going to be covered by the mortgage insurance that will go to that financing institution if you foreclose. So you don't have that elevates your payment. You get the best interest rates in the game, so they keep your payment lower. And you get to walk into a home for zero down. Oftentimes, I can get veterans into a home for as little as $1,500 out of pocket. And $1,000 of that then goes back to you after close of escrow. It's a $1,000 upfront deposit, and we'll get it credited back to you after I hand you the keys. Within 7 days, you'll have that $1,000 back for so a true value of $500, I can get a veteran into a home. So you still have to qualify and show that you make the income in order to make the payment. But they understand that most veterans don't have a bunch of money. So we need to get out there and educate people to utilize this home loan and the power in which it could do. The average 401k balance here in America, which is the general retirement program for most people, the average 401k balance of those 55 to 64 years of age in America is $105,000. $105,000 is nothing in the grand scheme of life. Say you're retired, you have $105,000 in your retirement, but you do not own your own property. $1,500 in rent over the course of 1 year equates to $18,000. Over the course of 10 years, which I would hope you would live longer than 10 years after reaching retirement and working your ass off for your entire life, I hope you would enjoy more than 10 years of life. From there, you've already spent $180,000 on rent. That doesn't include medical expenses, other bills, car, gas, life. We know how expensive life is to just merely exist. So.
Yeah, no, I love it, brother. I love it, man. Definitely don't ever want people to see that if you served, whether it be combat or not, if you did your active duty time, take advantages, especially of this, man. And it's so true. There's so many people who have yet to, and not just the VA loan, there's so many other opportunities you could have used for
Oh,
retirement.
every single person should get into home ownership. I purchased my very first home without a VA loan. Why? Because I was misguided, misrepresented, was not educated. So I purchased my first home on a normal civilian loan product. That's why people want to listen and want to work with me and do all those things. Not to toot my own horn, it's not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I'm young, I'm relatable. I'm from humble beginnings. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm a high school dropout. I lived on my own by 15. I met my dad while I was in prison. My mother was in massive domestic violence through the first year, 5 years of my life. I mean, so much more that I can that I could go on to shed some light about my life. But if I can do it, so can you. There's no reason why a high school dropout can do this, but you can't. So I truly believe that's why people, they want to come to the seminars. We don't just educate veterans. I host VA seminars on and off base at breweries. I know we're dealing with COVID, so most of my stuff has all been webinars, but any way that I can get you the information, I absolutely would do so. On Wednesdays, I do Healthcare Worker Wednesday webinars to give back to one of the most in-demand industries in America right now. Due to COVID, they're stressed to the absolute max, getting them the information. I teach regular first-time home buyers, advanced home buyers, regular conventional FHA, down payment assistance, any loan product out there. I teach all these programs. But since we're on the specific, podcast, Grunt Talks, and talking about veterans, I do VA on and off base. I'll buy your beers, whatever it is, just to get you the information. I spend hours of personalized consultations one-on-one with people that may not ever purchase or may purchase in 1 month, 11 months, or 111 months. I don't care. Why? Because the sooner they get the information, the sooner they ask themselves, how is this possible? The faster we can get you on a track that's most congruent for you and your family dynamic. And then we provide the power map to get to home ownership. I partner you with a lender that cares about your want and needs, that understands exactly where you're at. You should also get him on this podcast as well. His name's Chris Catania. He lives in Escondido. He's in the Army as well. He's currently a reservist on Camp Pendleton. He is my loan officer. He's from Guaranteed Rate. I have a few different loan officers, but him especially, because he goes to the end of earth for his clients. If you do not qualify right then and there, right? Because this is a a dynamic duo and or trio, truly a trio, the buyer and or seller, the lender, and the real estate agent. It's a team dynamic. It's a tripod. If you kick out one of those legs, it turns into a bipod, you fall over. So we need to have a strong lender. We need to have a strong agent, strong buyer, seller. With that cohesive unit, we're then able to make anything happen. For some reason, if that person does not qualify right then and there, Chris will provide a detailed description of what has to be done in order for you to accomplish what it is we're looking for, and that's attain a mortgage and get into home ownership. So for those that think, oh, I know exactly where I'm at, or I'll just call in a year. No, allow us to be your guides, your subject matter experts. Let's identify the shortcomings within whatever financial picture you have going on right now. Let's allow the financing expert to guide you at no cost to you, so that you know you have someone to also call and hold accountable, as well as being held accountable by someone else. Providing dates to create accountability, not just we'll get to it in 3 months. What does 3 months mean? Does that mean 90 days? What is 90 days from today? Because we're going to put a date on it, because that creates accountability with a little bit of urgency. Urgency meaning, hey, get on the horse and get this done. You got the clock ticking. We'll readjust if you can't meet those certain time parameters and all that, but it's to create accountability. That's what a lot of people are lacking. So what I see here in the civilian world here in America is accountability. Look to left and right. Your brothers and sisters are not just in uniform. They're everywhere around you. People are rioting. I love that people are rising up and speaking out. I don't like that they're damaging buildings and all that type of stuff, but that was up to the people to left and right within those riots to hold each other accountable. See, it's truly the person at the end of the day that holds the value of the masses. It starts very small. Cellular, on a small, minute cellular level, one person, then you mean it just builds out from there. So if everyone just does their part, we could change this world for sure. But it takes a conscious effort on everyone's behalf, and you should do the fucking hard shit. Because when you do the hard shit, all the easy stuff just becomes second nature. When you lace up your bootstraps and you wake up early, you start with the tough tasks every morning. Waking up early, making your bed, getting your workout in, showering, eating healthy, optimizing yourself so that when you go out here into society, you can slay it throughout the day. Why not live your best life? You have one life to live. Why not? Why half step? You're already awake, you're already doing whatever it is you're doing. You tell me you're half stepping, coming in here to work, doing this or that, who you're meeting with on this podcast, your family. Takes only a little bit more effort to give 100%. Everyone's 100% is different, but give 100%, be 1% better each and every day. And man, the power of momentum and compounding anything, whether it's in finances, personal, mentally, spiritually, physically. Just in life, the power of momentum. But you never gain momentum without doing the small things right. You can't do the big things right if you're not doing the small things. So it starts with the small tasks. Those small tasks, now you may start gaining momentum because you're doing them every single day. Then that turns into a little bit bigger tasks, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. And then before you know it, your momentum is going the direction which you want in a very, very rapid manner.
Man, Devin, with that outro, with the intro, with everything, bro. I gotta say, man, I really gotta thank Michael because, he was like, no hesitation. The minute I posted that, boom. He's like, dude, interview this guy. Trust me. It's gonna be worth it. And I love, man, if you're local and everybody else you told me about, of course, man, let's link them up, man. I definitely want to talk to them.
Yeah,
This is
we'll get them
why I
dialed
want this
in.
podcast.
Yeah, we'll get them dialed in. I got a bunch of veterans for you. My brother, he's, going to Cal State San Marcos. He's going to be a federal agent, and he's finishing up his last semester right now. He was in the Army for 4 years. He won the Kuwait Marathon. He won the Korean Marathon. He's done a lot of great things. And we got Ray, which, you mean, buddy of mine, fought plenty of times together, love that guy. We got who? Chris Catania, amazing gentleman as well here locally. I know so many veterans get on here on this podcast, but truly, besides veterans, everyone all encompassing, it's you're gonna be dead. The clock is ticking.
True, true.
So, what are you waiting for? You're afraid of the unknown. Most people are afraid of the unknown. Fear, it's the great equalizer in humanity. You should just face everything and rise. Why? Because there's nothing to fear besides fear itself. Once you know, then you get on the other side of knowing and you're like, that was it. I literally just made up all that fear in my head. You play the fight a million times in your head before you go and fight over the 8-week training camp, all that. The fight never plays out the way that you had anticipated it. Your relationship never plays out the way you had anticipated it. Nothing ever plays out the way you anticipate. There's always variable factors that cannot be measured that you may not have even thought of. So put your best foot forward, believe in yourself, and just know at the end of the day, whether you rise or fall or you succeed or don't, that when you put your best foot forward, you go down swinging. You give it your best fight, and that's respectable at the end of the day. When you give it 110%, no matter what the outcome is going to be, and before you know it, that was truly my little tool, I'd say, towards like what I've noticed. My little tool when it comes to success, it's you're in a room full of anyone taking a test. Oh, you think because you're the last one in there that you may not test that well or something's going on. That couldn't be further from the truth. Everyone's different. Be unique to who it is you are. You might take a long time on tests. I'm the type still to this day where I'm the last fucking person in that room, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna test the worst. Your body structure is different than anyone else. Don't try and be like anyone else. Be you. Work with conducive with what your body has to work with and be the best you can be in everything that you do. And you cannot go wrong. Fear and the unknown are the equalizers and keep humanity in check. The faster you overcome that, the faster you'll start unlocking who it is you truly are. And your truest gift. I truly believe that every single person on this earth is equipped with a gift inside of them. However, most people never unlock their truest potential and their truest gift. Most people are not happy because they have never been fulfilled. You may be successful, but that's different. Success without fulfillment, like many people say, is the ultimate failure. That's what I'm striving for. It's not just success, but it's ultimate fulfillment. And I know I keep saying truly because it's just, I feel this with inside of me that for some reason I've been blessed to unlock some of these life lessons at such an early age and expedited my growth and my life at such in. You know what I mean? Rapid manner and at an early age that I want to pass it on. And one of those things is home ownership. I want to show people the value of that. But I also want people to understand more of the battlefield of the mind. The battlefield of the mind is the ultimate battlefield. Once you unlock that, you are limitless. Once you don't allow people to steal your energy from something that they said and caused you to have an emotional reaction. Is it their fault that they said it, or is it your fault that you allow them to knock you off center and get an emotional reaction out of you? Taking care of the body, working on those things, understanding that you're supposed to be depressed. That's a natural feeling. Someone died, something happened. Hey, you're supposed to be angry. That's a natural feeling. It doesn't mean go and drink. It doesn't mean use drugs. understand that exactly how you feel is natural. Don't go to a doctor and look for who, what, when, where, why, this, that, give me something to take and suppress this feeling and make it go away. Make those feelings your friends. Understand why it is you're having that and have a healthy train of thought and recognize exactly what's going on in your life and what's causing those type of things. Why do you feel sick? Why do you feel tired? Why do you feel drained? Why do you feel this, that, or the rest? And understanding that most things that you're telling yourself is a limiting belief that you currently have, that you've instilled in yourself. No one else besides you. And that all comes from where we grew up, who raised us. Our subconscious is taking in 50,000 thoughts a day. You are a product of your surroundings, but you can change yourself. So it starts with the battlefield of the mind. So as soon as you start focusing on what's between the ears, the faster you will start becoming the best version of yourself. Many times we focus, like you said, Anthony, you're a manager at a physical fitness place, 24-hour fitness, correct?
Correct.
How often do you work on the muscle between the ears? Or excuse me, what's the ratio between how often you work your body opposed to how often you work that muscle between the ears?
I even know about ratio, but I mean, almost every day, every minute that I can, I'm always working my ability to not only, yes, physically be better, but mentally and be able to listen.
Not just listening, though, like actually consciously focus on brain training, pathways, neurological patterns, thought processes. I have a mental coach. I still have a physical strength and conditioning coach. I have mentors all around me, coaches, mentors, whatever you want to call it. I call them all coaches because I'm learning. I call Tony Ferguson coach, even when he wasn't coaching me, even when he's just calling me for a fight or a manager. I call my strength and conditioning coach. I call my mental coach, coach. I call my lifestyle coach, coach. I call my mentor if it just comes to, I have mentors for everything. How to be a better man, a family man, someone which I would like to replicate. Call them coaches because we're always learning. Life never stops teaching, so never stop learning.
So true.
And when it comes to working on the mind, you have to consciously work on that. You have to pick up a book and read. You have to take challenges. You have to write things down. You have to talk to people. You have to work with specific professionals that know how to then rewire you in a way in which you're seeking or something that's desirable for you. Hey, I have this deficiency within my childhood. I would like to work on that. Invest in yourself, because if you're not willing to invest in yourself, how could you ever ask anyone else to invest in you?
Okay.
So that's what I challenge people to do. We'll end this podcast with a challenge. The battlefield of the mind. What are your top three limiting factors? What are three things you're great at? Work on those. And I would say work on your limiting factors first. Of course, working on your greatest attributes is, you know, I mean, a good thing. And those great things are going to continue to prosper and get better. However, you're only as good as your weakest link. So work on those limiting beliefs. Find a way to get out of whatever rat wheel you're in and change your life, because you are the hero in your own story. No one is going to change your life besides you. No one's going to fucking pay your bills besides you. No one's going to take care of your family besides you. No one's going to go and get that next job besides you. No one's going to be a better man or woman or change you into a better man or woman than yourself. It's on you at the end of the day. So accountability and discipline, do the hard shit.
Love it, brother. Love it, love it, love it, man. And right before we send you out, brother, I want to thank you so much, man, because it's definitely, like you said, elevated my level just being a better person and thinking, like you said, to elevate my conscience so much more, man. So I want to thank you so much just for that conversation you had with me and just being a mentor to anybody who's listening to this. But I do want to give you the ability to, of course, I know you have some webinars coming up, you know, drop some of those handles that are coming out. So if you want people to reach out to you, if you want people like, hey, you know, if you ever just want to stop by, listen to some of these, where can they find you, man?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to come on here and speak. Like I said, I have so much to tell you, so that's why I bounced around a little bit from years. I got a lot of stories that I want to shed some light on. I'm getting ready to write a book here because I think it's important also to show the youth not just the great things that you're doing, but how did you get there and where do you come from, and that we need to go back to our communities and build out platforms for other people to prosper. So within the next decade, there will be a group home in San Diego that I spearhead, not to mention just a group home. We will have an actual academy within there to teach people what's an appreciating item, what's a depreciating item, what's an investment, what's a liability, what's an asset, those type of things, so that you can understand the velocity of money, the battlefield of the minds, and all those limiting beliefs. We're going to uncrack that. So that's one of the big things that we have going on the next decade. I know that's 10 years. You ask for things right now, but that's one of the biggest things we're working on right now. I mean, weekly for sure. We have a lot of different webinars. They rotate every single week. So I recommend you look me up on Instagram at Devin Ortiz or at Devin Ortiz Real Estate on Facebook. We're working on the we're working on the finishing touches on Strategic Real Estate Alliance website. That'll be up and running here shortly. We also have Wednesday webinars for healthcare workers. We have Thursday first-time home buyers and or VA. So every single week on Wednesday, we have the Healthcare Worker Wednesdays. But every Thursday, it rotates from a home buying, first-time home buying, to a VA. So we'll rotate the VA and first time home buying every other. And if you cannot attend one of the webinars, don't worry. We'll give you a personalized webinar for you that has been pre-recorded, so you can still gain all the information. We know that some of you guys are on rotating shifts, working graveyards, swings. You don't work traditional banker's hours. Don't worry. We'll still get you the information. Not to mention, Chris and I will work tenaciously for you at all hours of the night. You know that coming from a military background, we're on a 24-hour clock. We're not on a 12-hour clock. So from there, if it's 2 a.m. and you need someone because you've been on graveyard shifts and that's just the way you're operating, I guarantee you, I will be awake and I'll be there to answer any questions and or teach you whatever information we're going on. So please reach out via Instagram, Facebook, and we'll see how home ownership plays a role in your future, and or if you want to reach out and contribute some of your time and energy towards some of the outreach programs we have going on, please reach out and we'll let you know which outreach programs we have going on during that quarter of the year. But I wish everyone on this podcast a safe and healthy remainder of 20. It will not rain forever, so keep your chin down, keep it pushing in the right direction, stay resilient, and we will come out a better people, a better world at the end of this COVID-19. I look forward to the next time we're on here, Anthony. Like I said, we have a lot of stuff we can go over. We could break this down into little segments. We can get down into the nitty-gritty about military, this, that, and the rest. We can get into thought processes prior to 18 and kind of, you mean, put some stuff together for some youth here in the community, as well as I'm getting into public speaking. Want to hit up Rincon, go back to Conway, do a few other places in which I've gone to school, Orange Glen, and just speak to the youth because they need people to come back to the community that's made it out and made a positive influence. So it's up to us, because if we're not doing it, then how could we ever ask anyone else to do it, right? You got to lead by example. So go back, speak, and teach these kids that gang banging and gangs and tagging and all that's bullshit. The system's built for you to get stuck into that. Educate them on what's really going down out here and what they can truly accomplish. And each one teach one.
So true, brother. So true. So thank you again, guys. Thank you, everybody who's going to be listening to this. This has been episode 3 of Grunt Talk. Thank you so much, Devin. If you guys love the content, reach out to Devin, of course. Reach out to here if you love and subscribe. We'll see you guys next time.